Welcome to this episode of the Nothing Ventured Primer with me, Arish Shah. In these Primer episodes, we explore the insights and backgrounds of our guests to give you a bit of an idea of what they've been up to and how they got involved in the tech and venture ecosystem. Enjoy. This season of Nothing Ventured is sponsored by Odin. Odin helps angels, VCs, and founders to raise and deploy capital seamlessly. You can structure your SPVs and now run your funds, handle capital calls, portfolio management more smoothly and easily in one place. Founders use Odin to raise their entire round in a few clicks by simply sending investors a link and receiving investments immediately. Odin works with over 5,000 investors and over 150 emerging fund managers and angel syndicates globally. Head to joinodin.com to learn more. That's joinodin.com. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Nothing Ventured Primer with me, Arish Shah. Today, I'm really excited to have in the studio with me, Antonio Avitabile. Antonio has spent over 20 years with Sony with a large focus on image sensors, given his background in electrical engineering. He is now managing director for Sony Ventures Corporation, the venture arm of Sony, investing in deep tech, digital health, fintech, and new materials and products in image sensors, graphene, and quantum. Antonio, great to have you in the studio with me.
Thank you so much, Arish, for having me.
Let's dive straight in. For our audience to get to know you a little bit, It'd be great to understand, what was your first job?
Yeah, I was I started in Philips in Holland. I was actually an IC designer, an engineer, and I was designing RF transceivers for the time, Philips, Nokia, Ericsson, the mobile OEM, all the cellular market actually started in Scandinavia. And then after that, I actually moved into Sony. And my first assignment was to find a new business for image sensors. Mm-hmm. At the time, image sensors were primarily used for point-and-shoot cameras, video cameras. Yeah, and we had this crazy idea of kind of starting to sell image sensors to the same guys I was discussing for RF transceivers, so mobile phone makers.
Yeah.
So we had this crazy idea that the mobile would become the most pervasive camera. It was just an uphill battle because we were discussing with RF engineers that they couldn't understand anything about imaging. But finally, after many meetings and many years, we managed to actually start first projects with them, with Nokia, with Ericsson, and then Apple came in, and the rest is history. So now you have several image sensors actually integrated in phones, and everyone is using phones for selfies and for pictures. So that was kind of my first really assignment into Sony. Yeah,
yeah. I mean that's kind of crazy because looking backwards, like exactly as you said, thinking that mobile phones will be the primary use of cameras, obviously is now ubiquitous. I mean, I have a Nikon, sorry, not a Sony DSLR, but I was recently away, didn't take it with me. I was just using my phone the whole time, which and the technology has become so good. In fact, I think Google has now got, they've now integrated AI into the software so that they can manipulate the images in real time. I mean, there's clearly some really amazing stuff. So obviously a great bet to have made.
And so
it sounds like that's essentially what you were doing before you got into kind of the venture ecosystem. So let's actually talk about how you made your move then from, I guess, operating. I think you were business development, operations, and obviously R&D to some extent. How did you move from there into investing?
Well, I was actually developing a business, and the business grew from zero to almost $1 billion. We were selling the full modules, including the ISPs, image sensors, to OEMs. And my approach was kind of, I started to kind of see competition coming around. And in order to kind of address that competition, I looked at several startups and technology providers in order to kind of be able always to provide the best product to my customers. Yeah, so that was my and that's how I learned about startups and VC and it was just for me as a business development guy, was a way to kind of make my product more competitive. Mm. Yeah, by integrating some innovative technologies coming from startups. Mm. Yeah. And then, you know, I started to love the space, and we realized that in Europe there was no one inside Sony actually looking at these startups and this innovation, and at that time all the innovation, actually all the R&D was in Japan. Mm. And so I built a case internally to kind of start a scouting activity. Yeah. Here in Europe, and that's how we started. Scouting ended up with some off-balance sheet investments, but we realized that everything was very, very slow, because balance sheet investments require some sponsorship. Mm. Or having the conviction and building
you
a
need
case
an internal champion to
an internal
to
champion. Yeah. So and that's why we kind of in 2016 at the end we kind of formalized this as a proper venture fund, a vehicle that kind of has an investment committee. Mm. That can make much faster decision making. That's basically the transition. That's how it happened. Yeah.
And what do you think you would be doing if you weren't in venture today? Would you still be working with image sensors? Or, I mean, it sounds like you probably are anyway, but...
Yeah, I think, you know, I love actually the space. And I would probably do some, I would be probably a founder of a company or but in the deep tech space. You know, I'm passionate. You know, of course, profit is important because we cannot live without it. But you know, I like to connect the profit with the purpose. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so doing something in deep tech, for example, that can actually benefit the community, or perhaps in med tech or
sure.
So that's kind of what I would do, I think. Yeah, yeah. Because I feel that I'm a bit of an entrepreneur, even if I've always been working for a big company, but I've started stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Inside the company. So
yeah. Started stuff and then invested. Mm-hmm. In stuff that yeah. Obviously is having an impact on both the company and the wider, I guess. Mm. Economy, right? Mm. This season of Nothing Ventured is proudly sponsored by Emerge One. Emerge One provides fractional CFO support to venture-backed tech startups and scale-ups. They work with businesses from seed to Series B that have been backed by some of the UK, US, and Europe's best venture capital funds. They provide support from capital allocation and management, KPIs and reporting, fundraising support, financial modeling, investor relations, and investor management. Come check them out at emergeone.co.uk when you're scaling fast and have need of a CFO. So let's talk about Sony Ventures Corporation. So what is the AUM? What do you invest in? What stages, what geographies, what sort of check sizes?
Yes. So we have an early stage evergreen fund that of 100 million that we use to explore. And tickets there are in the range of $500,000, 1 million. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of all Sony money. And we use them it's very strategic and explorative. Yeah. And then we in 2019 we actually raised the first GPLP fund from external LPs, external investors. So it's Sony's one of the LPs.
Sure.
And a GP. Out of this growth fund we invest bigger tickets and we tend to actually invest in some of the companies that we have already seeded with the early stage fund. And the best ones we double down, we increase stake. Yeah, so that's kind of a little bit the investment strategy. And now in terms of KPIs, the growth fund is kind of very much like a normal VC fund. So we are measured on MOIC and IRR, we need to return the investment to our LPs with a multiple. I think at the end of the story, We like to invest in sectors that we understand, and all the management team is actually worked in Sony for 20 years.
Correct.
So we understand the Sony businesses, and that's why naturally the focus is around Sony businesses. So it's around entertainment and deep tech.
Mm-hmm.
Under management we have about 600 million. All in all, we have a portfolio of 160 companies already invested in.
Wow.
But out of the growth funds, I think that it's much, much less. So again, we are using the early stages explorative, like almost an accelerator, an incubator, yeah, let's say.
Yeah.
Seeding, yeah.
And in terms of geographies, you invest globally or
globally? We have a global global reach. So we have a team in in the US, a team in Europe, and a team in India, and in Japan. And recently, actually, we extended the geography into Africa, actually, and that's also my responsibility here in Europe.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely talk about that. Yeah. Africa is definitely one of the regions I'm very excited about. Have been as someone that was born in Kenya. I think there's a huge amount of opportunity out there, and we've definitely explored that on a couple of podcasts. But I'd love to get your take on it as well. So, if we were to talk about maybe three ventures that you are excited about, either inside or outside the portfolio, what would those be?
Yeah, well, one venture we invested in, I'm very passionate about quantum computing, because, again, the opportunity is really to kind of, discover, especially for drug discovery or for quantum system simulations and so on. I think that would really accelerate the identification of the right therapy for cancer and so on. So that's one quantum motion. We have invested in quantum motion here in London. So that's one investment I'm really passionate about. Another one that I really like this. We are an investor in Raspberry Pi. And again, there is, the spirit of delivering computing to everyone, computer for everyone.
Educational as well as low cost. And so on, yeah.
And then there is another one that we are looking at now, which I don't disclose the name, but it's about image sensors and improving even more the quality of images and pictures that you make with your mobile phone. But also the same mechanism can be used for what we call the lab on chip. So being able to kind of check if you have if you are sick and check at home instead of going to the clinician so that's those are the three that I would select out of the in the portfolio or the companies that I've seen. Yeah. And they are all three more or less in deep tech space.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about like what is meant by deep tech, because I mean, I guess that is often like a very broad, all-encompassing kind of term. Yeah. But I mean, I think what's amazing about those three companies is, as you said, there's profit, yes, but there's definitely purpose, right? Yeah. Like drug discovery is obviously really important right now, and we saw how life-changing that can be during the pandemic with the vaccines that were developed in such a short time. But equally, it obviously plays on the entertainment side of things with the other sort of image sensors and so on.
Yes.
I think those are really exciting, and I guess often, certainly in the TechCrunch articles and on social media, you hear about like the big software businesses and possibly the sort of slightly sexier D2C businesses. But ultimately, yes, those fuel consumerism, but sounds like some of these businesses that you've invested in, maybe under the radar, but actually have transformational potential in the wider world. Antonio, thank you so much. We're going to get into a lot of this in the main episode. For the meantime, thank you so much for joining me in the studio today.
Thank you so much, Ash.